So grateful. Father, we're thankful today that you're here. Amen. We're glad that all of you are here this morning. We're glad you have joined us online. And we've been in a series on a thankful heart, a grateful heart. And today we are continuing that all the way through to Thanksgiving. It's not something we do once a year. How many know we should have a grateful heart all year long? And God has done so many things. How many would say today, Pastor Ron, God's done so many things for me. I have to be grateful. I have to be. I don't have a choice. I have to be grateful. It's embarrassing to not be grateful to the Lord. That's how good he's been to us. Amen. And even to Oak Grove, I speak on behalf of Oak Grove. I'm grateful for a new grandbaby girl. Tori and Caleb are here, and little Ellie is here. Would you welcome them today? God bless you guys. I love you. She's a beautiful, beautiful baby. And we're grateful for that. And there was somebody else who's on my heart this morning. How many ever have a junior moment? Whoever you are, know that you're on my heart, whoever you are. Does the Lord ever put people on your heart? Does he ever do that? Do you, like, you've been going along, driving along, and the Holy Spirit puts somebody on your heart? Isn't it good to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? And when he speaks, I wouldn't just make light of that. If the Holy Spirit puts somebody on your heart, I believe it's for a real purpose. You never know what they might need. It may be just you needing to obey. It may be the Lord wanting to do something miraculous in their life just to thank God for them or to pray. Send up a prayer to them. Oh, I know. It was you, Ethan. Mr. and Mrs. Swick. They are the newlyweds. That's who it was. It was you, Ethan. You were on my heart. Yes. Is Hannah working today? Oh, she's right there. Hello, Mrs. Swick. Come on. Welcome Mrs. Swick here. Sister Swick is here. We love that. Congratulations. Yeah, he came in here with a smile from ear to ear, all the way from Nebraska. They got married. We are so proud of you. So happy, 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 happy. And so I'm thrilled today to know my junior moment came back. It was Ethan. It was Ethan that was on my heart. Praise the Lord. I think everybody's in and settled. And great, great job today, worship team. Give God praise for them. We don't want to take them for granted. That's awesome. They usher us into the presence of the Lord every week. And so today we're going to deal with sanctification. I believe thanksgiving and sanctification go hand in hand. And hopefully we can show you that from the scriptures today, that the Holy Spirit is sanctifying us. The old timers used to say, I'm glad I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven, right? And it's not anything different today. If you're happy and you know it, you should shout amen. So how does God sanctify a grateful heart? Our text in the series has been 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I want us just for a second to read chapter 4 and one verse in chapter 4. Come, Holy Spirit. How many know we need the Holy Spirit to sanctify us? 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. So last week we talked about giving great gratitude to the Lord. I mean, forever grateful. We will ever be forever grateful for what Jesus has done for you and for me. And what he's done for Oak Grove down through the years, we're so grateful. This year in 2021, we're going to be celebrating 75 years as a church. Isn't that wonderful? Some churches don't make it 75 days. You've made it through thick and thin. You've gone through a few things and you're still here. Somebody shout, I'm still here. That's right. Take that, devil. He tried to snuff us out a couple of times, but he couldn't do it because God sanctified us. It's the will of God to make us holy. I said, it's God himself who set us apart for the work of God. We are, and we're still here. You can bring us through pandemics and depressions and recessions. You can bring, but you know what I say? I opt out of all of them. How many here belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I'm not going to allow the culture I'm in and the circumstances that are around me dictate the man that I am and the Holy Spirit who's in me. And so we have to be strong and courageous and let God sanctify our hearts through a grateful heart. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. It was our text last week, verse 18 was, but it's so good, I want to read it all. Do you mind? I'm going to read it anyway. said, so give thanks in all things was our text, but let's look at it together. Rejoice always. Somebody say rejoice always. And delight in your faith. Delight in your salvation. I said, we're saved. We should be happy. Amen. Rejoice in your salvation. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. We should be prayerful people. In every situation, no matter the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God for, say it with me, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That's the fact. Look at this. I can't help but read on. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Do not reject the gift of prophecy, spoken revelations and words of instruction or exhortation or warning. Don't do that. See there, in that day, there were false teachers and false prophets coming in, masquerading as true prophets of God, and the people had a bad taste in their mouth toward prophecy. Paul said, hey, don't treat prophecies with contempt. Don't do that. How many know God is still God and there's still true prophecies? Don't treat every one of them like they're not right. That's what he's saying. Test all things carefully so you can recognize what is good. Hold firmly to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. How many know we need to hear that today? Abstain from every form of evil. Withdraw and keep away from it. And now may the God of peace himself. I just want to stop right there. Not an angel, not another representative, not the church. May God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. That is, separate you from profane and vulgar things. Make you pure and whole and undamaged. I like that, undamaged. I mean, there's a lot of damaged people today. Damaged by life, damaged by things that happen to them. But undamaged, the Lord wants to help us be undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose. And may your spirit and soul and body, somebody say body. It's not like we don't have responsibility to our body, be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful and absolutely trustworthy is he who is calling you to himself for salvation. He will do it. He will do it. He will fulfill his call by making you holy, by guarding you, watching over you, and protecting you as his own. Isn't that a wonderful God? And then I love Ephesians 5:18. We read a little bit of it last week. I'll read a lot of scripture so you can handle it, okay? But we'll wait right there. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness. It's stupidity. It's corruption. Does anybody believe that? There's a lot of people in church today acting like drinking wine and consuming alcohol is okay. And you say, well, it's not abolished in the scripture. No, but I think we ought to get as far away from it as we can. No reason for you to dabble with things like that. Get away from it. And it does say in the scripture for elders, for leaders, for people in the ministry, don't even taste it. Don't touch it. That's how destructive it can be. And though something is legal, it doesn't mean you have to take part of it. Because not everybody knows how to handle it. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. And if you're going to stay blameless, you better stay away from things that can be dangerous. Dangerous, and that's alcohol, one of them. We'll come Sunday night on the 6th of December. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But do not put out the Spirit's fire, we said earlier. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And may God himself sanctify you. Wow. It's a few commands there, right? I said there's a few commands there. And so with every command comes a promise. So let's read this and then I'll keep on going. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not fill the bucket, empty the bucket, fill me up again. It's a constant, continual be filling yourself with the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not an accidental, oop, I ran out. It's a continual. It's just like the conduit that goes to the transformer. There is conduit. It has to come down. How many know God is powerful? The Holy Spirit's powerful. We can only take it and consume it in portions that our humanity can handle, right? He is powerful and supernatural. So when we flick on the light, that power is already there. I need some help. I said, How many know we ought to have faith to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a continual way? We're not being emptied and filled and emptied and filled. We're always being filled, right? It's going to show us how to do this. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being subject to one another. Being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a tough one. Let's hurry up and read over it. And then, of course, our text, this is the will of God, that you be sanctified, separated, set apart for sin, that you abstain and back away from sexual immorality. Get away from it. Run away. Run away. Three things you need to do. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Get your notes down. Get it down, because I want to talk to you a little bit. And I know how you are. Note takers want to get it down. How many OCD people are here? I mean, if you go too fast on the PowerPoint, like, wait, back up. I didn't get point number three. So go ahead and get it. I want you to get it. But I want to talk to you because it's a very serious thing. This text commands us to do three things. It's the apostle of thanksgiving. And the more I read the apostle Paul, the more I see him saying, thanksgiving is a key component to living a sanctified life. I mean, let the Holy Spirit sanctify you. Let the God of peace himself sanctify you. Not just your body, just your mind, your spirit, and your body, right? Everything about you needs to be sanctified. To sanctify means to make holy, to set apart. Anything in the tabernacle that was used of the Lord was sanctified. The Lord blessed it. He sanctified it. He touched it. And whenever the Lord touched it and set it apart for his service, he calls it holy. See, Pastor, I know some churches, they don't seem holy. How many know the Lord called the Corinthians holy by faith? He called them holy. You are the holy people of God. They were not even close to being acting like holy. They were acting like immature babies in Christ. Still drinking on milk when they should have had the meat, right? Still needing to be taught when they should be teaching. And so everybody's on a different level of sanctification. There is justification. How many glad that Jesus justified us with the cleansing of the blood? That's what happens when we come to Christ. It's the beginning of our walk with God. And then there is sanctification that is both instant, like the thief on the cross who went right to heaven, didn't get saved, and then joined the church. I said, you don't have to join Oak Grove to get to heaven, but it will help you along the way while you're here. He didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. He was washed in the blood of Jesus. Jesus forgave him, and that night he was in the blessing of the Lord. Right? This day you will be with me. That's justification. Sanctification is instant, immediately, but it's also progressive. It's a process. How many glad God's still working on you? Amen. This is still happening. And then there's a third category, and that is glorification. Glorification. And that's going to happen when the Lord comes back. You're not glorified yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not glorified yet. Max, I love you, brother, but you're not glorified yet, and you know I'm not either. You look glorification, but you're not. I mean, one of these days, we're going to be fit and trim. We're going to be in heaven glorified. Right now, Max and I went on a missions trip together, and we climbed up a mountain, 100 steps. Remember that, Max? 100 steps. I thought, it's supposed to be our free day. I said, this is not a free day. This is work day for me and Max. Chasing those young people all over the mountain. And so God's doing something. He wants us to do three things. Being sanctified means that we rejoice always. That's two words, but they're powerful. Amen? Powerful. Always rejoicing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's our duty. It's our responsibility. It's also a command. As is, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. If you want to stay in the Lord, if you want to stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might, just be filled with the Spirit. Stay full of God, right? Those are two things. And then it says pray, right? Now, it doesn't mean that we're thankful in everything. In everything means this. In Greek, it's in pante. It has a connection that everything that comes along in life, be thankful for every season in your life, for everything you're going through. Be thankful in the midst of this pandemic. Oh, Pastor, that's a little bit hard to do. Well, that's what he's saying. All of the seasons of life, all of the seasons of life, you can't opt out of senior citizens. I was thankful till I got old. How many know you got to be thankful all the way to the end? And so he's given us a command here, right? It's very broad. It has no limits. No matter what, give thanks. Anything that is not sin, obviously. How many know we don't give thanks for sin? Sin, we don't give thanks for. We don't give a time a day to sin. We don't rejoice in sin. We don't give thanks for sin. Help me out here. And then thirdly, he said, we pray without ceasing. That's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And as usual, every command comes with a promise. The promise is that the God of peace himself will help you. That's the promise. So the command is you need to do these three things. It's the will of God. It's the command of the Lord. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. God will help you do these three things. And so I love what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9:10-11. I want you to listen to this. It's not on the PowerPoint. Just listen. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So this is pretty awesome. The same God who causes crops to grow and produces seed to be planted is the same God of peace who takes care of the food supply, is going to take care of the righteousness supply. In other words, he's going to sow seed into you through the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you. He's going to encourage you. How many believe God wants you to make it? Hey, folks, if God's for you, who can be against you? He wants you to make it. He wants you to do his will. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to make it. And he's going to do it. He's faithful, right? He multiplies your seed for sowing, and he increases the harvest of your righteousness. He is faithful, and he will do it. He will help you. In verse 11, the result is you will be enriched in every good thing. God will bless you. Anybody here thankful for a blessed life? He will bless you. He will sanctify you wholly. He is faithful, and he's going to give you everything you need to make it. Why? Because it is producing thanksgiving in you to God. He's producing something in you. Remember our study of the fruit of the Spirit? We said that the Lord is producing the fruit. We cannot. The Holy Spirit in us is the generating power of God that's producing love, joy, peace. He's giving us he's helping us to have his love. He's helping us to have his joy, his peace, his patience. Pastor Ron's patience runs out quick. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? We need God's patience. We need God's love, right? His gentleness, his grace. Is producing that. It brings him glory and honor to his name. God sanctifies us, blesses us in order to bring glory and honor to his name. And it produces thanksgiving in our hearts. Our righteousness is characterized by a grateful heart. Sanctification and gratitude go hand in hand. I hope that you get the lesson today. That's the lesson. Sanctification and gratitude are connected. So ingratitude, which is what we'll talk about next week. It's going to be rough, right? But ingratitude is the opposite. So I want you to really clearly get this today. Last week we showed you Ephesians 5, right? We're called to obey, to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 3, do not let immorality, look of Ephesians 5, verse 3, do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. What Paul's saying is that Christians don't behave like that. We're living in a culture where anything goes. Christians can do as they please. I mean, that's not the will of God. There's not all this tolerance for you to just live as you please. Paul was serious about this. If you're going to walk in the will of God, you'll be blessed. But you walk in the other way, you're not even close to being sanctified. So there's a confusion in the churches today. Don't let it even be named among you. It's not proper for saints. Did you catch that? In other words, you Christians should live a righteous life, live godly life, free from immorality. That's porneia. Understand? Which is a word, it means fornication or impurity, or it's a generic word meaning every kind of sexual sin or greed. Or greed. And never let it be named among you because it isn't fitting for believers. I need an amen right there. Now, some churches don't want to preach that. Some preachers don't want to proclaim that. People don't like to hear how I should behave. Can I tell you, your believing we sang about this morning and your behaving, they should come together. Your walk and your talk need a match. Somebody hearing me? So you can't be named among those who are living in an immoral life. It's not fitting. But must be no filthiness or obscenity coming out of your mouth, but thankfulness. So in this, we have the obvious contrast of unrighteousness and righteousness. It's right there in the scripture. This is how unrighteous people live. This is how heathens live. This is how believers live. How many know there should be a very simple ability to tell, to differentiate between worldliness and godliness? But today it's cloudy, isn't it? Well, in my opinion, I think I can do this and get away with it. It's just my conviction. Listen. Thus saith the word of God. It is not God's will for you to live in immorality. That's all there is to that one. So let me move on before my heart rate goes higher. So thanksgiving and your speech is the opposite of obscenity and gestures and ugly talk and vulgarity. It's grateful talk. A gratitude is an attitude. It's what should characterize the believer's life. We need to catch this. It's very practical. It needs to be applied to the church today. How grateful are we? Does it come out in our speech? Does it come out in our behavior? If you're to live a righteous life, you must be incessantly grateful, because gratitude means that you have a grip on the goodness of God in your life. Somebody ought to be helping me here. If you are a grateful person, it means you know God is good in your life. If you're an ungrateful person, it means you left God out of your life. You have nothing to be thankful for. And boy, that's a bad place to be. You have a Godward focus. If you're thankful, if you're living a righteous life, it means you have a Godward focus. That's your mind. Your mind is on God. Your affections are on the Lord. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So you're not under the circumstances. Anybody ever heard somebody say, well, how you doing? Well, under the circumstances. How many know the people of God don't belong under the circumstances? You belong over the circumstances. That's how you get victory. That's how you walk in the will of God. You're not to allow the circumstantial things around you to put the pressure on you. You got to get over that. That's why they call us overcomers, not undercomers. Some churches have to have undertakers because the whole bunch is dead. The goodness of God, your focus in your mind. May you be sanctified in your whole mind, body, and spirit. So to be God conscious is to be thankful in your mind for what God is doing. And then you're full of the Holy Spirit, which is mean your spirit is full, filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody thankful for the Holy Spirit? And you're behaving with practical Christ-likeness, that's in your body. If you're going to be like Christ, you're certainly not going to be living an immoral life. Christ is a great example. If you compare yourself with anybody else, you're going to be coming up short, right? And so who controls you is the question today. Who's controlling your mind? Who's controlling your spirit? Who's controlling your body? And Ephesians 5:8 said, don't be drunk with wine. Well, this will preach in a Pentecostal church. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't get intoxicated and be controlled like that. Don't sing like an old drunkard. But get full of the Holy Ghost and make joy in your heart, singing with joy in your heart. Songs, hymns, songs, spiritual songs. Not junk talk, not vulgarity, thankfulness. See, there's a difference between the two. So you have a Godward focus, you're believing God, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you get to verse 18, it's a comparison. Don't get drunk with wine. That's a wasted life. That's a wasted life. To be controlled by alcohol, or you could add any other substance, to anything that overtakes your mind, right? Marijuana. Oh, it's illegal. How many know just because it's illegal, it doesn't make it right? Help us, Lord. Don't be, well, I need it for medicine. I get that. And I know that alcohol in the Bible might have been used for medicinal purposes as well. If somebody was dying at the end of their life, give them a little wine. Paul tells Timothy, a little wine's good for the belly. For medicinal purposes. Young Timothy was sometimes intimidated by the people of God. I said, the church gave him ulcers. Preach, preacher! So what I'm saying is, it wasn't controlling him. He was controlling it. And some people don't know how to control it. And some people are using it as excuses. Oh, that's medicinal. I mean, oh, you can only take that excuse so far. Seemed like addiction is the next level to medicinal. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. In ancient Greek, I want you to catch the culture, because in ancient Greek culture, some people believe that the way to ascend into transcendent realm of religious experience, or to commune with deities, Max, you had to get intoxicated. And the drunker you were, it's through drunkenness, the drunker you were, the more you're closer to being with the deities. How many know the devil is a liar? I mean, no, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's Gnosticism. And all your own personal knowledge, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's where false prophecy and false teaching comes from. That's where false religions come from. Enlightenment. Transcendental meditation. I'm going to get to a higher experience. You understand? I mean, no, you're chasing after devils. I said, doesn't anybody believe that drunkenness is heading straight to the pit of hell? I hope so, because that's what's happening. They were thinking that they were getting closer to the deities. And he said, that's how you escape the low-level world and ascend to higher knowledge than all of the little people. All the little people don't know as much as I do in the Lord. I went to visitation one time at my last church in Louisiana, knock on the door, and there's smoke everywhere in this little house, shotgun house. And beer cans everywhere. And they were new believers. They were, I don't even think they got saved yet. They just came to visit one time. And so I just, whoa. There was a cloud of fog in there, and it wasn't the glory of God. And boy, they started wrestling around trying to throw away the garbage and put out the cigarettes. I said, time out. Hey, I'm only here to say thank you for coming. You don't have to change on account of me. I didn't die on the cross for anybody. And I said, well, Pastor, when we read the Bible, we drink beer and smoke marijuana, and it helps us to get a revelation. I said, boy, you're full of the devil is what I was thinking. The more inebriated they would get, you would leave this mundane world and rise to a higher concepts. But how many know the devil will make people believe that? You and I know it's foolishness, but they really think they're getting close to God. Oh, they smoke their marijuana and drink their beer. It's happening all over the world. So that's how they do it. But Paul says, hey, if you want to get elevated to the presence of God and communion with the true Spirit of God, don't get drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a big difference, a big contrast. How many know we're drinking new wine at Oak Grove? Well, amen. We're high on the Most High. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Get under the control of the truth of the Word of God. Get under the control of the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will do the will of God. Get under the control of any other substance, you will not do the will of God. You'll be intoxicated, inebriated, brought into another sphere that God is nowhere around. It's called delusion. People are believing a lie. And when you are full with the Holy Spirit, you'll not be singing like an old drunk person. You ever met an old drunk singing? Some of you ain't been out. You've been saved all your life. Has anybody heard an old drunk sing? They think they are all about it. They think they're all about it. They're under the control of alcohol. And they think they're happy. They're glad. I mean, the next morning they're waking up around the throne, and it's not the throne of God. They're vomiting their guts up. They don't know what they did the night before. Paul said, I got a contrast for you. He said, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, you'll be in another world. How many know it'll be another dimension, all right? But that dimension will bring glory to the Lord, and you'll be walking in the will of God. You'll be the praises of God will come out of your mouth, not vulgarity. This is good preaching, Pastor. Keep it up. You will sing, not like an old drunk person, you'll sing a new song, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always giving thanks for all things in Jesus' name. The sign of a spirit-filled person is a grateful heart. That's what I'm trying to say. So you're filled with joy that comes out in praise and gratitude. It's tough for somebody who's full of joy and gratitude to be overcome by disappointment. You're full of gratitude and joy. A spiritual optimism will come over you. Faith will come on you. And you'll be able to make it through anything. You can jump over walls, right? We're part of the army of God. We're King's children. I said we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus our Lord. We are part of the church, the blood-bought bunch. We're going to make it. Can you say amen? We are trusting the Lord. It's tough when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit to be disappointed and discouraged and depressed. So that bids me to ask, why are so many spirit-filled people in depression? Well, one, it could be clinical, so be careful before you judge too soon. Some people do struggle with emotional illness, mental illness. But some people haven't been reading their Bible. Some people hadn't been praying in the Spirit. Some people hadn't been going to church. Oh, I wish I had somebody help me preach here. There's a reason. There's a reason you're down in the dumps. Ought not to be. I said it ought not to be. So he says then, that if you are being sanctified, when you're trusting God, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're established in your faith. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Holy Spirit in your life, it says. What happens if you quit reading the Word, quit going to church, quit praying in the Spirit? Well, it's a downward spiral. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It is the will of God that you should be sanctified by avoiding evil and controlling your body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen do, who do not know God. There is a worldly heathen, and there is a believer in God. How many know they should live differently? The fruit of their life should be evidently different. One doesn't even acknowledge God or His Word. Therefore, they don't trust God. Therefore, they're sliding into a deep, dark place. That's not happy. They are of all people most miserable. And we see it every day. It's unfortunate. So we rejoice always. We pray without ceasing, and in everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's the three things we need to do. That's God's will for us in Christ. It's a process. It's progressive sanctification, and it takes time. Now, it doesn't mean no trouble will come, for we are promised trouble by Jesus Himself. In this world, you'll have some trouble. But don't worry about it. Be of good cheer. Rejoice always. Be thankful because I overcame the world. And if I overcame the world and you're in me and I'm in you, you'll be an overcomer because I was the overcomer. So the key is to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Stay close to Jesus. Stay in the Word of God. Are you hearing me? And you will be sanctified, holy. It's not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. So trouble and triumph comes to all of us. There are good days and there are bad days. I said there are good days and there are bad days. And you know, the older you get, the longer you get to the end, you start looking back, you think, man, I thought I had a lot of bad days, but I can't hardly remember them. I've had way more good days than I had bad. It's amazing. We forget the bad ones. We move on. I said we move on. We are thankful God brought us through the bad days. I said, God brought us through the bad days. Salvation is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. So it doesn't mean trouble won't come. But what happens is, but we can't quench the Spirit. So if we're taking a spiritual health test, okay, Dr. Laura, do you have your stethoscope? We're about to take a spiritual health test. We're gonna check everybody's heart today. How grateful are we? Is my heart full of joy? Why not? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, Isn't it amazing that the devil goes in the opposite order and he tries to take your peace first, your joy second, and then he's going after your love. He's going after your love because without love, we are nothing. Not a trick question. If you don't have love, you don't have anything. So, is my heart full of joy? Am I eager to meet with God in prayer? I mean, I was so blessed the few Monday nights ago we had prayer meeting, and there were so many people from Oak Grove that were able to make it. If you weren't able to make it, we're saying we understand. But those of you who made it, would you help me praise God for our praying church? Come on, let's praise God for our praying church. It tells me the measure of your spirituality when you love to be together in prayer. And then thirdly, are you forever grateful? Are you grateful? Are you thankful? It's so easy to get complicated and complain, and things start getting rough, and you don't make as much as you used to, or you can't do. We were just thinking the other day, we got to wear a mask and we got to go around, and it's different. It's different. It's so different than just last year. It's different. Church is different. Everything's different. You can't go out and eat. It's just all different, and there's no consistency. There's no consistency. Everybody's, you know, okay, yeah, well, okay. And who knows what it's going to turn out to be like in the future. But how many know God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? My outward circumstances doesn't depend on my inward joy. My thankful heart, God's still God. He's still been good to you and me. And he will be good to us in the future. And if you're not doing these things, then you're not being sanctified, and you're not doing God's will. I didn't ask if you went to church. A lot of people sitting in church are not sanctified, not even interested in being sanctified. You understand? This is the will of God, not just going to church. Going to church is important. And if you're not able to make it to the house of God, some of you are online. But if you're not either online or at the house of God, evidently you don't have a computer or you just don't really want to be with us. But you can connect. How many know you can connect? I said, you can connect some way if you want to be with God's people. You can put an effort out. Are you being like Jesus? What are some things that will rob us? I don't know what I got up on this PowerPoint, but let me try and see what I got. It's only 11 o'clock. Rejoice in the Lord. Let's see. I'm hitting it, but it ain't moving. Thank you, bro. What robs us of our gratitude? Could be doubt. Could be doubt. I mean, no doubt will rob you of your joy. It will rob you of your faith, doubting God's sovereignty. I believe God's going to take care of this. I wonder, Old Grove, how many of you believe God's going to work this thing out? Not just what's happening right now, but whatever comes our way. I said all things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. He is sovereign God, and he's going to work it out. He is the God of hope. He's a God of peace. He's a God of love and wisdom. And this could corrupt your heart. If you doubt God, it could corrupt your heart. When you don't say thank you to God, you're doubting him, and you're saying that you can't trust him. You don't think he can help you. If you don't thank God for what he's done or what he's going to do, it just simply means you don't really think he can handle it. It's a lack of faith. How many times you hear Jesus say, oh, you of little faith? And secondly, it could be selfishness, a worldly spirit, always saying what you don't like. I don't like this, and I don't like that. Whining, complaining, murmuring. It's not my way. God doesn't even do anything. It's like a baby. It's like a baby. You ever baby's whine? I'm talking about a different wine now. We talked about wine earlier. This is a different wine, W-H-I-N-E. Almost as bad. Just like a baby. God never gives me what I want. It could be an attraction to worldliness. What do you want? What are you thankful for? You're not content with what God provides you? You want more? God gave you a spouse. You want somebody else's? Somebody ought to help me out here. You don't need somebody else's. God gave you the one God gave you. Stick with the one God gave you. That's the will of God. If you didn't think it was the will of God, you should have took care of that at the altar. Too late now. Live with it, my brother. Oh, I love the way y'all are helping me here. What God provides, you should be thankful for, because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Well, I like Oak Grove, Brother Ron, but it's not meeting all my little felt needs. I think another church would do better. Get a life. Grow up. Nobody's going to meet all of your needs. I said, nobody can meet every need you've got except Jesus. And if he's not the one you're going after, you're going to try to get all your needs met through people, and you're going to be disappointed the rest of your life. People will disappoint you. Worldliness, more pleasure, more possessions, more passions, more pursuits. In other words, you look to the world to fill up your life rather than to be content with what God has given you. It's good preaching, Pastor. There's something about satisfaction in the Lord. How many say this morning, my soul is satisfied? Oh, let the peace of God dwell in your hearts. That guards your heart and your mind, right? The peace of God. In other words, I'm satisfied. I don't have everything. But you know what I say all the time? I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And if you'll hang in there, wait till you see what I'm going to be. That's sanctification. That's what it is. So selfishness gets in the word, in your life and in your mouth and in your life. And, not happy with what God has given you in all the blessings. It's almost embarrassing. You're saying, I don't care what God's will is. I want what I want. I want what I want. I don't care about the will of God. That's why in this whole election process and all, I never got political and I don't plan to. You know why? The will of the Lord be done. Hey, God sets people up and brings people down. God's still in charge of America. And you can give up on her if you want to, but how many know God hadn't done it? He can speak and he can breathe a breath and God can give us a revival. The likes we've never seen yet. And all the while we're disappointed and I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. And God set us up for the greatest revival of all time. Can I tell you, there's two things I know for sure. There is a God and I'm not him. So I have to constantly trust him. Go around complaining, not getting my way. It could be a critical spirit. What about that? A critical spirit. You don't want to stop there and preach, do you, Pastor? You got to go. You have become bitter, negative, sour about life. And what happens, Hebrews says, is a root goes down, a root of bitterness comes in on you, and you hold grudges. Now you're mad at everybody. I tell you, it's them. It's them. It's them. How many know it's not all of them? It's about you and God. Otherwise, you're letting all of them dictate your spirit. They're controlling you. The things around you are controlling what's going on in you. Are you hearing me? It'll steal your thankful heart. You hate the way everybody treats you. You can't control people around you, so you lash out at them. Control freaks. Do we have any? Don't raise your hand. If this goes unchecked, it will steal your grateful heart. It will blind you of God's blessings. God has blessed us. I said, God has blessed America. You think he's going to stop now? And so God will bless you. And it will corrode your love and your joy and make you and everybody around you miserable. Have you ever been around a miserable person? Don't raise your hand. God no longer fills your vision. I love what David said. Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, my heart is glad. David's saying, all I see is the Lord. I see the Lord high and lifted up. Amen? What are you seeing? What are you allowing yourself to see? If it's only the outward circumstances, you're not going to be grateful. Right? Who gets grateful for disappointment? Nobody. But if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your race, he will help you be grateful. You won't develop a critical spirit. Let's go on because that one's not happening. Impatience. That's worse. I should have closed in prayer right there at critical spirit. This one is tough. You just can't wait to see God's will unfold. So God's not operating on your schedule. Your day timer, your planner, your calendar, and God's calendar are all mixed up. Where's God? Where's God? Why won't God do this and why won't he do it right now? I'm ready for this season of my life, and it's not happening. This is not happening. What's going on? Where's revival? How many know God's got his schedule? How many believe God has a plan for us? He's got a plan to end this whole thing. That's why I say the will of the Lord be done. Hey, I don't know what's going to happen in 2021, but I do know this. Either he's going to make it where everybody's going to get really, 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 really in trouble where they need God. That's what we call revival. People get saved. Or he's just going to take us out of here. Either way, we win. I wish anybody would go with me. We win. God's not operating on your schedule. So you grow cold as you leave your first love. You lose your fire. You lose your passion for his word. You quit worshiping. Just sad countenance. Nothing's good is going on. Quit reading the Bible and you fill your life with things other than the Lord. And you want everything in your time frame. Whew. Rebellion. I don't want to go there. This started off good. It's getting heavy. Rebellion. Ingratitude could lead to rebellion? You don't like what you have. You think you have reason to be sad. Now you begin to believe that you have reason to be sad. Now you begin to believe God has done it all. That's why you're sad. It's all God's fault. How many know if God's the only one who can help you and you get upset with God, you're really in a bind. So the opposite of all these things is true, right? You end up in rebellion. You end up hating where you are in life and what you've been become, and you're angry with God and the way things are, and you give up your faith. You just give up your faith. I mean, some people would say, well, when I was a sinner, I had it better than when I had it in the Lord. I mean, the devil will put a mind game on you. I had it better off when I was in the world. No, you didn't. I mean, you were lost without God and on your way to hell. I said, your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as an unbeliever. I said, we're on our way to heaven, people. That's worth being happy about. So the opposite of all these things is obvious. A thankful heart comes from trusting God with doubt, not doubting. An unselfish servant's attitude. As opposed to a selfishness, right? You got to counter that with the opposite, giving up your rights. Everybody has entitlement today. Got my rights. I got my rights. You have no rights. Your life has been bought with a price. How many know you belong to the Lord? He's the Lord of your life, right? So you should have a servant spirit, not a selfish spirit. A desire for God's will over your own, focusing on Jesus, keeping your consciousness on God, having a thankful heart, consumed with Christ over the world. A fervent spirit. Don't let the Spirit's fire go out. Don't let it go out. And patient, forgiving, loving, gracious, forbearing, kind, a loving spirit, a peaceful spirit. You know, there's a rebellious spirit in our culture today. Just telling you. Fighting mad. Not happy. And they want to take more of God out. Can I just give you an equation for disaster? God out. And the world in. Christ out, Antichrist in. It's gradual. If sanctification is gradual upward, then unsanctification is gradual downward. May not be the theological term, but who cares? And it's process. Let's just take a look at the church today in the 21st century. Let's eradicate the power of the Holy Spirit from moving in our services. Well, that's not popular, Brother Ron. Speaking in unknown tongues. See how that is? Very subtle. Well, let's not eradicate it all the way. Let's relegate it to a back room somewhere where so nobody's embarrassed. I mean, I'll never be embarrassed of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be embarrassed of the Holy Spirit. He's the only help we have. And let's just take missions. Hey, ease up on missions. My goodness, couldn't we do something here? Couldn't we build our building with the missions money? Let's get it. We don't need missions. Let them worry about them over there. We'll worry about us over here. That's a selfish spirit. That's not a servant spirit. I mean, we're here for one reason. That's to win the whole world to Jesus. Both here in America and around the world. So you keep, just be quiet. See how subtle it is? How we're backsliding. When Chrissy was 5 years old, she said, Daddy, if you can backslide, can you upslide? I said, yes, baby, you can. Yes, you can. I mean, we need some upsliding going on. Otherwise, we're going to end up in rebellion. How are you doing so far? Some people get so cold, they let the fire go out. They get lethargic and spiritually dry, and it kills a grateful heart because they're empty. They lack zeal to serve God. They may even go to church, but they don't serve the Lord. Are you hearing me? They go to church, but they don't serve the Lord. They don't give. They don't pray. They don't study the word. They don't worship. They have no spiritual fire and fervency and passion. It's just there. They're just there. And thank God you're there. I'd rather you be there than in the world. But God wants to challenge you this morning to stir up the gift of God that is in you. Stir up the passion of fire. Turn the fire. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow on the embers and let a fire revival burn in your own soul. So God can revive the church. How can God save the world if he doesn't revive the church? Judgment starts in the house of the Lord. We got to get ourselves together. Otherwise, we're going to end up in rebellion. Now, if you've heard me today and you're feeling bad about yourself, listen to me. Even though things are bad, it's not outside the plan of God. I mean, oh, God still can. He still can redeem you. He can still grace you. He can still bless you. He can still forgive you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? He can still perfect you and sanctify your heart if you come to Jesus. He's the God who forgives. I would say today, as we come to the close of this, you should run to the altar and let joy fill your heart again. Let joy fill your heart again. If you're at home and you're not in the house, find yourself an altar. If it's on your couch in your living room, get by your bed, get on your knees. Say, Lord, I have lost my joy. I've lost my zeal. I lost my fire. I've let the fire of God. Did you see how responsible? Who's responsible for that? Don't let the fire go out. Who's responsible? We are. Joshua told the people, God, sanctify yourselves, for in 3 days we're going to go in. Sanctify yourself. So we have the Holy Spirit to help us, but it's a partnership. God wants to help us. Are you hearing me? So what do I have to be grateful for? Oh, ooh, Chrissy, you might ought to come. I got a lot to say, but let's give them a little hope. Come on with your team. And while you're coming, I'll preach the rest of this. Pastor, what do you have to be thankful for? What do you have? God's character. Can somebody lift your hand to the Lord and just say, thank God for his character. How about it? How about his faithfulness? Could you praise the Lord for his faithfulness? How about his constancy and his goodness? I mean, God is good. I said he's almighty God and he's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. He never makes mistakes. He's working things out. It's not possible for God to mess up. He can't misjudge you. He's a righteous judge. He's a righteous judge. I know we have 9 Supreme Court justices, but how many know we have 1 righteous judge? He's not going to make a mistake. You don't have to worry what side they're going to go on. How many know he's going to be on the Lord's side? He's the righteous judge. He's absolutely perfect. I said, that's who he is. Can somebody help me? I'm getting excited here. Everything he says is accurate. Every decision he makes is right. Every choice he makes is the right one. Every move he makes, every word he says, he's our God. His character is impeccable. So, my friend, let God sanctify you. Every word, every work. Rejoice in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Psalm 97:12, be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name, for he is almighty God. And how about his goodness and his mercy? Do we have a minute? Can we take a minute to thank God for his goodness and his mercy? Wow. In fact, that's what the psalmist said in Psalm 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. That's how good God is. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost in here. He's merciful toward us. He's gracious toward us. He's so good to us. So good that even in our pain, we believe he has a good intention. Even in our pain, Max, he's doing something good for us. Don't let Satan lie to you during these days. Psalm 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his loving kindness is everlasting. That is his mercy and his grace. It means everything he does is for our good. Romans 8:28, we already quoted it. Psalm 107 says the same thing I just quoted. Psalm 136:1 says the same thing I just quoted, which is give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness lasts forever. Hallelujah. Another thing to be thankful for. In case you're coming up to Thanksgiving and you don't have anything to be thankful for, how about his divine guidance? How about his divine wisdom? Could you just lift your hand to the Lord and thank him for his divine wisdom? Man, so many times I come up short when I need to make a decision. I come up short. In the balcony, hey, I come up short when I need to make a decision. I got to call on God. And you know, he knows all things. He gives us victory over sin. He gives us victory over death. Philippians 4 says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for the word of God. Anybody thankful for the word of God that leads and guides us? 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason, we constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it, not as the word of man, but as it really is, the word of God. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Although we have a sovereign God, although we have a sufficient Christ, although we have a powerful Holy Spirit, we still must pray continually. Pastor Ron, if God's doing all of this, why do we have to pray? Why do we have to rejoice? Why do we have to be thankful if God's doing it all? Because God uses the prayers of his people. How many believe God uses the prayers of his people? He works with us. We work together. That's why we pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then he will hear us, he will forgive us, and he'll heal us. There's a parallel there. There's like a partnership there. If we will humble ourselves and pray, turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear us and forgive us and heal us. It's conditional. I know you don't think so, but it is. And I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray continually, even though it's all planned, it's all settled, nothing to worry about. We rejoice, we give thanks, and we pray without ceasing. Woo! I'm about done. Would you stand with me this morning? Wow. The word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its inherent supernatural power in those of faith. We should be thankful for his holiness. Come on. I'm going to read it out. You lift your hands. I'm going to read it out just to help you. For his holiness, for his wisdom, for his grace, for his mercy, for his love, for his goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts, especially the gift of salvation. Thank you for your divine guidance. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the complete provisions of sanctification. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church, God. It's your church. Thank you for our Christian fellowship. Thank you even for the trials that we grow up in. Thank you for your coming back to get us. Thank you that everything is not caught off guard, but you know exactly what's going on. And you notice the common thread and all that. It's all his. It's all his. The God of peace himself will sanctify you, holy. If you're with him, you can have his peace, his love, his protection, his provision, his grace. It's all commended. Our prayers are used for his purpose. Same with our praise. Sanctify us, Lord. Help us to sanctify ourselves in you by listening to the Holy Spirit. So this is what we're going to do. Next week, we're going to talk about ingratitude. I'm done preaching. You got 1 minute to make an altar and get it all done. Some of you might want to come and find a place to find the peace of God in your hearts. We're going to worship the Lord just a minute. If you have to go, we understand. If you have to disconnect from us, we understand that. But if you want to make an altar online, just get by your bed in your living room. Find a place in your prayer closet. Let's turn this place into a house of prayer. Come on. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in everything. Come on, let's practice. Let's worship the Lord today.